God is good. And all the time. Amen. On the 18th and 19th of April 2008, the Australia 2020 Summit was held in Canberra by then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd. The aim of the summit was to develop, was to help shape a long-term strategy for Australia, for Australia's future. And over 1,000 people came to this summit and were involved as delegates. And the community was also invited to speak into these. There were 10 critical areas that this summit was going to look at. Some of the stuff they looked at was productivity, rural Australia. Like if you think of the drought that's happening now, health and aging, the economy. And like I said, submissions were invited from the whole community. And it was called Australia 2020 Summit. Right now, we are on the eve of a new year, 2020. We're on the eve of a new, of the third decade of this millennium, the 20s. Most organizations, if you just put in Google Vision 2020, the stuff that comes out is like lots. I remember being in primary, and I vaguely remember something around the United Nations 2020 vision of, I don't even know what it was. So 2020 has been one of those years that has been referenced as the future. But we're less than 3 months away. I should have counted how many days away we are. Let's just say 78. I just picked that up. It has always, personally, it has always seemed so far away, like a sci-fi movie, like 2020. And yet here we are, you and I, on the eve of 2020, the year, but the 20s, the third decade of this millennium. And guess what? The future is here. Amen? The future is here. The title of my message is Vision 2020, Understanding the Times. Vision 2020, Understanding the Times. Even in the natural, if you have perfect eyesight, it's referred to as Vision 2020. As I was praying, I just started to ask God, I'm like, God, what do you have in store for the year 2020? I tend to plan for my year now, which you should do. Don't wait till the 1st of January to start planning your year. And so I was just starting to pray the last couple of weeks, asking God, I'm like, God, what's in store for 2020? And this is what I sense for myself. You're more than welcome to take it on board as well. And this is what I heard. He said, the year 2020 and the next decade have been anointed to usher in a new level of spiritual authority and awareness for us as Christians to walk into. God has ordained this next decade for you and I to walk in the blessing. That's the mandate that is upon this next decade. There are things that God has put in this time, and the vision I had was just parcels. So there's parcels God has for you and I in 2020, in 2021, 22, 23, all the way to 2030. They're already there. And he wants us all to receive all these gifts that he has set for us. So 2020 is pregnant with purpose. It is pregnant with destiny. The two keys he spoke, he said, hearing God's voice and understanding the season that you're in are the two keys that you need for this next decade. Those are the two keys we need for this next decade. Hearing God's voice will tell you, go here, that's where your parcel is. Don't go there, there's a trap. And hearing God's voice, we all hear God's voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. On top of hearing God's voice, you need to understand the season that you are in so that you can appropriate accordingly that season. So for some of us, we might start 2020 in a season of waiting, of just seated at his throne. And that's what he wants you to do. If that's the season God is calling you into, but here you are going warring, you'll experience frustration. Because though you're in the will of God, you're using the wrong tools, the wrong strategies for that season that God has called you to. I'm just going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you because you're God who loves us. Thank you because you're God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, right now, as we embark on the eve of 2020, Lord, I pray and decree, Almighty God, that we will receive everything you have in store for us, and we will be prepared to appropriate the seasons that are ahead of us in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I say take over in Jesus' name. Amen. Vision 2020, understanding the times. I'm going to read from, some say Habakkuk. You put in whatever you say from chapter 2. And verse 1-3. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Amen. So there are three stages for a vision to be accomplished. There's three stages. The first season is the conception, is when the idea or the vision is thought of, when you start to think about it. That's the first stage. And in this season, there's a lot of dreaming, there's a lot of planning. Nothing actually happens. You're just seeing where you want to go. You're seeing where the dream you have or the vision that you have. And this time is really exciting because there are many possibilities. You start thinking about it. Like right now, there's a buzz about Christmas season coming in. There's the excitement of taking time off, excitement of spending time with family, or whatever you like to do during this season. In Genesis chapter 11, the story of the Tower of Babel, verse 6, it reads, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. This DNA is in you and I today. So if you and I focus and decide to dream, decide to see things, we can accomplish anything that we want to. So in this season of the conception stage, this is where we tap into God's plan for our lives. As Christians, we're not called to walk this journey alone. Like I said, God has things planned out for your life, planned out for my life. Our job is to ask God, God, what do you have planned out for me in this season or the next season? And once he shows you, you just start walking towards that thing that he's shown you. So there shouldn't be any stress. There shouldn't be any anxiety when we think about our future, because God has already ordained a good future for you and I. So the first stage is the conception of the vision of the dream. The third stage is fulfillment of the vision of the dream. So when the vision comes to pass or the dream becomes a reality, it is the birthing of that vision, of that gift. Is AJ here? Hello, AJ. If you haven't seen, Alice is back there. She's holding her gift. So, Alice, so for most of us, Today is the first time we are seeing Alice's gift. We are seeing Alice's vision, baby, AJ. But she has had 9 months, 10 now, 9 months of feeling this baby. We didn't know this baby was there. She would feel things in her body. That's the same thing in the natural. That's the same thing in the spirit realm as well. So when most people begin to see what God has done, that's the end part of that fulfillment of that dream. There's so much that has happened behind the scenes. So I said the first stage is conception. The third stage is fulfillment. The middle stage. That middle stage is the hardest. That's the growth stage or the development stage. Most of us, we can do the first and the third season well. But when it comes to the middle season of waiting, we either give up or we just keep going the same mountain like the Israelites did. And the important thing to realize in this season is God has his part and we have our part. And the key is to knowing what your part is, keys for me to know what my part is and what part is God's. I'll just take you back a chapter in Habakkuk. Actually, we'll go back to the one I just read, chapter 2. If you look at verse 1, this is Habakkuk. This is him talking. This is him saying, I climb up to my watchtower. I stand my post. That's his job. That was his job, to climb up there. And in those old days, when you went up to a watchtower, it was to get vision. Actually, still now, you get vision to see what's happening beyond the horizon. Verse 2. So verse 1, he's talking, and he's like, well, how are you going to answer my complaint? Verse 2, it's now God talking. And God is giving an instruction to Habakkuk. And he's saying to him, write this vision down. Write it plainly, for it is for an appointed time. And verse 2 and 3. Imagine if he stopped at verse 3. So verse 1, it's in his court. Verse 2, God is speaking, giving Habakkuk instruction. What if he never actions what God has said? Write it down. He'll experience frustration. He'll be like, God doesn't speak, or he doesn't hear me. All sorts of excuses will come up. Why? Because he hasn't acted on the word that God has given him. If you go back a chapter, just one chapter back, which is what God is answering. So verse 1. It says, this is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I cry for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? How many of us are hearing this rhetoric right now in our world? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. Verse 5. The Lord replied, look around the nations, look and be amazed. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. That is a peculiar response. He's just whinged and complained and say, God, can't you see all the violence? And God's answer is like, look at this amazing thing that is happening around you. So the first thing we need to do to have a 2020 vision to understand the times is to have God's view, God's viewpoint. So to navigate the season that we're in with 2020 coming along, you need to have a God view and not a you view or a me view or a natural view of the circumstances that are before you. If you listen to the news, 2020 is doom and gloom across the world. But is that the reality? Is that the reality that God wants you and I to walk into? I don't think so. So God is inviting us to partner with him as we head into 2020, this third decade of this millennium. So when God looks at us, there is a set plan that he has for us to finish our 2019 strong and to start our 2020 strong. Our job, like Habakkuk did, is to ask God, say, God, what is it? What is your plan for my life? How do you want me to finish 2019 strong? And you actually wait on him and you listen to what he's going to say. As Christians, we should not be anxious about our future, ever. We should not be anxious about our future. The Word of God is full of promises that tell us that your future, my future, is bright. And it says his mercies are new every morning. So every single day we wake up, there's a promise, there's a mercy, there's a grace for that day. On top of that, he says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for a good future, to give you hope. There's so many things. He wants to do the exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything that you hope or dream. So the Word is full of those promises. But we need to ask God what to do in the season that we're in. Have you asked God those questions? Have you asked him what he has planned that you should be doing right now? Just have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Have you asked him what you need to do with the call that is over your life, with the destiny that is over your life? Have you asked him who you need to partner with to fulfill it? Because God is in heaven. We're here on earth. I know he's omnipresent. If he's asking us, like Noah was asked to build an ark, God did not come down on earth to build an ark with him. There's things we need to do on earth, and there's people we need to do those things with. So have we asked God who we need to partner with to fulfill that call? Talking about people, have we even asked God what voices are speaking into my life that I need to shut out? There's different voices for different seasons. Just because I was meant to partner with you in this season does not mean I'm meant to go to the next season with you. I might not be. You need to ask God that. So in Habakkuk 2, in chapter 2, verse 2, God says to him, keep the vision before your eyes. At the start of the year, as a church, we had a 21-day fast, and this is the pack we had. And as a church, we declared that 2019, we themed our year as atmosphere shift. That's the theme we gave to 2019, actually in 2018, planning for 2019. And this is what we had. It says, this year, we're declaring a shift in our atmosphere. It's time to get aggressive and fight for what belongs to us. Our job in 2019 is to create an atmosphere for God to fulfill his promise. How many of us have experienced a shift in their lives this year? Even as a church, you can sense that something is shifting. Like there's been so many shifts, but there's a bigger shift that's coming. In Ezra 8:23, which was our verse, it says, so we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. So 2019 atmosphere shift, this has been at the forefront of my prayer when I've prayed for this house. I know for a lot of other people. So when God has begun shifting things here, we should not be surprised because we waited on him. He told us what we needed to do. We wrote it down. We declared it. And then when things start shifting, we're just walking in the fulfillment of a word that he has given to us. So that is the power of vision. That is the power of keeping that vision before your eyes. I have what I call a faith project book, and I know a few of us have it in here. It's basically a book that I put my faith projects I'm having with God. And I write a date. Well, I'll wait on him to ask. Like, I think 2 years ago, I put in God, I have a vision to see my family and I travel overseas on a trip that we will enjoy, that is, we finance debt-free, and we just have the time of our lives. That was like, 3 years ago now. Last year, my family and I got to travel across the U.S., Canada, U.S., Canada, multiple places, in and out. And that was a vision that we had. Even my kids knew it because I've got a vision board in my bedroom. It's basically just a board that I put things. My kids would come and say, "Oh, Mom, we're going to Canada." I had Canada big letters. "We're going to Canada. We're going." As they said it, it reminded me and it raised my faith. And I began to just speak into that dream. That's the same. You should have whatever you're praying for, have something physical before your eyes to remind you when you're feeling down, to remind you when you don't feel like praying. And always get a backing scripture like we did here with our fast. We named our year and then we had our scripture. Have the scripture. It says in Isaiah, his word will not return to him void. So as long as we partner with God, speak his word to him, according, you have to ask him what he wants to do. God cannot be manipulated. Just because you want something and you're quoting the word, he cannot be manipulated. That dream, that vision has to come from him. First Chronicles 12, verse 32. My message is based on this text, on this verse. It reads, "From the tribe of Issachar, there were 2,200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take." So this tribe was blessed, had an anointing to understand the seasons, to understand what Israel needed to do. Genesis 8:22, it reads, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." So the second step to having 2020 vision and understanding the seasons is to understand the season that you are in. There's no point you watching, I am watching you and I see what you're doing, then I try and imitate that because I can see you're having good results. If I'm not in that season, it's not going to work for me. It is not going to work for me. So God has set things up to revolve around times, around seasons. We've just gone through, we've shifted our clocks. We've got daylight saving. So now when I leave work, the sun's out. 3 months ago, I'd leave work and it would be dark. Different seasons, different things happen in the natural, things happen in the spiritual realm as well. And there is value in every season. Just because you're not enjoying the season you're in doesn't mean that season is not valuable. There is value in every season. And there are appropriate actions to be taken and appropriate actions to be avoided in each season. No season lasts forever. No season lasts forever. So through the leading, but we can determine how long or how short we stay in a season based on what we do. Doing the right thing at the wrong time is just as bad as missing the vision. So at times God speaks to us. So when God speaks to you, always ask him, when is the right time to step out? Because sometimes he speaks and then it's something he wants you to do in 10 years or in 5 years. But because we hear him, we're like, oh, God wants me to do this right now. You have the same frustration as if you're in the wrong, like you never heard from God because you stepped out too soon. So like the sons of Issachar, we need to understand the times in order to fulfill the assignment and destiny that is on our lives. And we need to know what season we're in. So from I grew up on a farm. There was a season of planting. In the season of planting, actually let's start from harvest. I know harvest is the end. But we would harvest. When we would harvest, we would eat some of the crop and would keep some of the seeds for the next season of planting. And then in that harvest, we would clean the fields, clean it of everything. We would burn, would do whatever we need to prepare the soil, for the ground for the next year. Next season, planting season, we would plant. In the plant, we would water, we would weed, would attend to the crops more than we did once they were mature. Then in the middle stage was just about keeping all unwanted beetles or whatever away from the crops, and then there was harvest time again. Different seasons have different actions assigned to them. And each season has actions. So there's a difference between living in the dream, where you're just talking about it, but no actions, and then actually walking in the dream. We have to walk in the dream. Change is automatic, but progress is not. Change is automatic, but progress is not. I read Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." So having a vision for the future gives you purpose for the present. If we live without knowing where we're going to go, we're going to experience frustration. We're going to experience boredom. You're just not going to enjoy the season you're in. In the season we're in, there's the part of what we need to do in the present, but we also need to be tapping into the Holy Spirit to find out what we need to start preparing now for the season ahead, for the year that's coming ahead. Knowing the season you're in and having a vision anchors you. Personally, for me, when I'm feeling run down, tired, I do the things that I've decided to do for that season. So that's where I go to my vision board. That's where I go to my faith project book. And I don't have to think about it. I'm like, okay, what am I meant to be doing in this season? And then I look at it. And as I get back into the vision, my faith begins to arise. That exhaustion or that fatigue or frustration or boredom that I had begun to experience begins to go away. So our vision starts in our thoughts. So as we're looking into 2020, what are the thoughts you're having concerning 2020? What are the thoughts you're having for that next decade? Is it fear? Is it frustration? Is it like, oh my gosh, God, this is too late. I was meant to have accomplished all these things in this second decade of the millennium. If that's where you're at, I encourage you, go to God and say, God, give all that to God and say, God, this is what I'm feeling. How do I get from this point of frustration to this point of walking in your dream and destiny for me? Jeremiah 29:11, it says, God has great plans for us. That is a fact and that is the truth. That is a fact and that is the truth. But sometimes the enemy speaks lies to us. He'll tell you, like right now, there's some people, he's saying, oh, it's too late. You missed your chance. You missed the boat. That's not true. If God said it, it will come to pass. If God said it, it will come to pass. It might not be coming to pass sometimes because of our own actions. And that's a conversation that we should have with God. He might be saying to you, you're too young for that. You're too old for that. Or, oh, no, it's not for this time. No, if God said it and this is the right time for it, it will come to pass. Ephesians 3 verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. My hope this morning is when you leave this place, you leave with a hope for the future. You live with, when you're looking into 2020, excited and almost like 2020, come now. Because God works with us where we're at. So if Jesus walked in here now and said to you, I am here to make the exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or hope for, do we have an answer for him? You'd be like, actually, I haven't thought about that. This verse implies that we're supposed to be thinking about that hope, about the exceedingly abundantly above. Because when God shows up, you know it's God, because you're like, God, I only believed you for this, but you've given me that. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have to be hoping for something for our faith to work. So the first step is, what did I say? Have. You need to have a vision. Ask God what the vision it is for your life, for the next decade, even for the next week. It doesn't have to be bound by the time frames that I'm talking about. Then the second thing is to understand the season that you're in now so you can walk to the vision that God has given you. And the third thing is not to step out prematurely. The children of Israel, I'll read in Deuteronomy 1, verse 2 and 3. Oh, yeah. It reads, normally it takes only 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, going by way of Mount Seir. But 40 years after the Israelites left Egypt, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses addressed the people of Israel, telling them everything the Lord had commanded them to say. So the Israelites had got prophetic words that they had been given the promised land already. Yet, because they failed to navigate that wilderness season the way God had intended them to do, most of them were not able to reach the promised land. Does that mean God's word was false? No. The promised land was there. Does that mean God lied? No. His word is always true and it's everlasting. He doesn't lie. So coming back to us, how many of us have received either prophetic words or we've had dreams from when we were children or just a desire you've had in your heart, but you feel like you're going around that same mountain? You're like, God, every year I'm trying this and nothing's changing in my life. How many of us are there? Or you're believing God for healing in your physical body or restoration in your family or healing in your family. And you're like, God, I am praying. I am praying about it. I've done everything I know to. And some of us, we might even have dreams that we've been holding on for decades. So when you hear 2020, you're like, oh no. It's like a big reminder, like that dream, it has not come to pass in this decade when you thought it would. Like the Israelites, if God has spoken it to you, it will come to pass. He is saying, I've given you the promised land already. This is what God had destined for the Israelites. Sadly, the Israelites did a lot of things that made them not step into the promised land. That's for another day. But they murmured. They undermined leadership. They were ungrateful. They did so many things that judgment came upon them because of their actions. And most times in the vision journey, this second stage is where we miss it. Sadly, most people give up in this growth or development stage. And then we say, oh, God didn't speak. God spoke. But either we stepped out prematurely or we don't follow through that season that he's teaching us. Years ago, I applied for the job that I'm doing now and I didn't get the interview. I didn't even get an interview. And when I put my application together, I was so confident. I was like, yes, I am going to get this job. Ticked everything. I even went and spoke to the person who was listed as the person to contact. He's like, yeah, put in your application. I was quite surprised when the interviews came, went, didn't even get feedback as to why I didn't get that job. I was crushed. I was disappointed. I came, went to Gilbert, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be a stay-at-home mom for the rest of my life. Nothing wrong with being a stay-at-home mom. Nothing wrong with that. I've done that for seasons in my life. And I kept doing the role that I was doing as best as I could, giving it my all. But during that time, I had this manager. And this manager that I worked under, I have multiple managers depending on. I worked under, they began to micromanage me. It got so bad. One day, I was sitting in my car, ready to go upstairs. The first time I'd ever experienced this, I just sat there. I'm like, God, I don't want to go in. I don't want to hear what this person's going to say. I don't want to experience the emotions that I just started not liking work. And I like work. I love my work. I stopped enjoying my job. And as I was sitting in that car, I just felt an impression, God say, ask me what you need to do in this season. So I asked God what he wanted me to do. And he said, I want you to honor this manager. I want you to make them look good. I want you to cover up their mistakes. I want you to pray for them because they're hurting. That's why they're acting the way they're acting. And it's like, I've placed you in that team that you're in because you're my access to that person. I was like, oh, man. It wasn't an easy season, but you know what? I did it every morning. Even my family began to know this person's name because they would come in our prayers. Sometimes my kids would even slot, pray for mommy's work, you know, let her have a good day. And it stayed. You know, I stayed in that season for over a year. Nothing changed. Things got so bad, people around me would come and say, what are you going to do about this? I even had someone more senior say, we can see what this person's doing to you, but we need you to make a formal complaint so that we can take action. God said to me, honor this person. And I remember when that happened, I went home. I'm like, God, I can't, because you've told me I need to honor this person. If I go and then make a formal complaint, I had like 2 days to pray about it, and it just disappeared, the whole thing. Eventually, this person moved on. And then the job became available 3 years later. 3 years later, I was not confident to apply for it. I didn't think I deserved it. I didn't think I was qualified. Anyway, I got nudged to apply for this job, and I got it. I got the job that I applied for, which is my job now. And I remember asking some of the people, like, they're like, you are the least qualified person for this job. Some of the people on the panel. And I remember asking my current manager now, I'm like, why did you give me that job? And she's like, you had potential. I could see you could grow to become the person this role needs. And it took me months, you know, to sort of get into this role. But I'm so thankful I did not get this job the first time. Honestly, my character was not right. I would have just destroyed that whole team, that whole department. God refined my character. I learned to look through the eyes of my manager. And just trying to, when I was praying for the person, just, okay, what's the button that's pushing this person today? Not knowing that God was going to prepare me for that. My awareness of self, even my reactions, my awareness of others, and just actually paying attention to people around me increased. And the greatest one is, like I said, I sat in that car that day. I'm like, God, I don't want to go up. And I prayed, I'm like, God, I never, ever want to make anyone feel that. And if I do, show me so I can fix it. So hopefully, if you talk to people that work in my team, I will say when I'm wrong. And I will apologize when I need to apologize. And, if people are feeling run down, I'll say, why don't you take time off? Because I learned that awareness. Why do I tell you that story? It's because in that growth season, God works on us so that we can contain the promise that he has in the future. So when we prematurely step out, so when you think of 2020, when you think of the next decade or the whatever the future is in your life, it's about having the promise, the word, but it's also about the timing of when you need to step out. For the Israelites, what was meant to be an 11-day journey ended up being a 40-year journey. Commentaries say that between 2 and 5 million people, 5 million Israelites left Egypt. Of that number, 2 entered the promised land. 2 out of 2 to 5 million people entered the promised land. The rest of the people, the Israelites that entered the promised land, they were born in the wilderness. They didn't know Egypt, never set foot in Egypt at all. So the promise of the promised land never changed. However, everyone who began that journey didn't make it. So as we're walking our journey with God, you know, dreaming, believing for the future, expect there'll be character refining that's going to happen along the way. And that character refining doesn't mean you're walking on the wrong path. It actually means you're walking on the right path. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel nice. But God needs to prune us so that we can appropriate that next season well, so that we don't fall from those positions or platforms that God will give us. So what mountains do you keep going around? Could it be because of something you're doing or not doing that you keep going around that mountain? Genesis 37 verse 2 and 5. It says, this is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the son of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. In verse 5, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Then Genesis 41 verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. Joseph conceived a dream when he was 17 years old, but he did not step into it till he was 30. In between the 17 and 30, there was a lot of character refining. Like, he had a dream, he had a call, but he was proud as. He would, you know, how he would talk to his parents, how he would talk to his brothers. Now think of when he meets his brothers, he's humbled by just being in the same presence as them. So he had 13 years of growth. Your growth season might not be that long, or it could be longer, but stay in that season and keep connected to God. That's why it's important daily when we wake up, God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do this week? What do you want me to do this year? That constant conversation. And it will change. The changing doesn't mean God didn't speak before. It just means he wants you to go a different direction on your way to the dream. So as we get ready to finish off 2019 and begin a new year and decade, we want to be in the will of God for our lives. We want to be in the will of God for our lives. Narelle, Tim, can I get you up, please? Those questions I asked at the start, I've just got a slide with them. I'd like us to take a few minutes just to have a conversation. Grab your journal, grab your notes, your phone, and begin to have a conversation with God around these questions. So ask God what he has planned that you should be doing right now. What action should you be taking right now in your life
For some of us, it could be forgiving someone. I really sense that in my spirit. That God is saying, let go. By letting go, it doesn't mean what they did to you or what they said didn't affect you. But by holding on to that unforgiveness, you're blocking hearing God's voice. You're blocking God's blessing operating in your life. The next question to ask: what do you need to do with the call or destiny that is over your life right now? All of us, God has created us for a purpose. If you haven't even asked God, that's another question. Ask Him, God, why did you create me? Why did you create me? Or even ask, I constantly ask, God, why am I in Australia? I wasn't born here. Why did you bring me here? When I left, I'm Zimbabwean, so I came here to study. The first 18 months here, I just absolutely hated it. And what I actually hated it. I know that's a strong word. What I didn't like about this place was just the spiritual dryness. Growing up, I could call upon somebody somewhere and they could always pray my problems away. Or pray, my mom would get a word from me from God and that would be it. After 18 months, I finally asked God, my God, why did you bring me here? And He said a few things. One is like, I want to have a relationship with you, not you via your pastor, you via your mom, or anyone else. He's like, I came here, I brought you here to remove the comfort zone. Like I always had, there was always a natural option to whatever problem I had. But once I was here, if I didn't have rent money, I didn't have rent money. That was it. There was no one to call. If I didn't have fee money, that was it. And I learned to trust God. And I learned to hear Him. The second thing He said was, I brought you here to become part of the solution of the spiritual dryness that you're calling out. I'm like, God. Because I'd always been behind the scenes. I'm like, it's actually quite fun. Because someone else would carry it. It's like, I came here to become part of the solution. And once He said that to me, I asked Him, I was like, okay, what do you want me to do? And He's like, pray. That was my instruction. So God brought me to Australia to pray. And I've been doing a lot of that since I came here. The next question you can ask is, who do you need to partner with to fulfill your call? They're divine relationships that God has ordained for us. So who do you need to be walking with in this season? And if you know, ask God, is this the time to reach out to them? Because sometimes it's not. You know, God will make it all work out. And I really felt strongly over this last point. Who do you need to stop allowing to speak into your life? There are voices we are allowing to speak into our lives that are having power and authority and deciding our future that we should not be giving to. We should not be giving them that power. And these voices are not always physical voices. They could be voices of our past. Like I said, the second time I applied for my job, I was like, I can't do it because I had failed. I had failed the first time. But through God's leading, I did apply. So it could be a physical voice, someone speaking to you, but it could be also an internal voice of past, of a hurt, of a trauma, anything that's pulling you back. So where we start is not where we end. Where we start is not where we end. Where we end is determined by the actions we take in between starting and ending. So as we align ourselves with God's plan for our lives, We will end 2019 better than we started. We will end 2019 better than we started. And the start of 2020 will be amazing because we will understand the times. We will have that vision 2020 for our lives. I'll just get the team back up. You know, in preparing for this message, I said to God, it's a bit too early to be talking about 2020. And I really sense God saying, there's things that need to drop off and stay in 2019 that we need to deal with these next couple months left to give us the best 2020 start that we can ever have. I just invite us to stand on our feet. Continuing in that atmosphere, ask the Holy Spirit, what are the things that are limiting you? What are the things that are limiting you from walking out in your destiny? I actually sense that there's some of us here, the thought, me talking about 2020 is bringing so much anxiety and fear in you because you're like, I don't even know if I can do tomorrow well. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what things are limiting you. What are the limiting beliefs that are stopping you from imagining the exceedingly abundantly above? For some of us, it's our past experiences. All you need is healing. That's all you need. You just need God to heal you, and you can walk into the call that He has for you. For some of us, it's words that have been spoken over our lives by people we love, even by our parents and close friends, even our husbands or wives. And for some of us, it's hurt, disappointment, fear, shame. In Atmosphere Shift, I encourage you to come. Last week, she was talking about hooks. Hooks that the enemy uses to get access into your life. They're either hooks, some people call them hooks, or open doors. So when there's hurt or disappointment, fear, shame, abandonment, it gives the devil access to your life. And we need healing from those places, from those things.